Hello and welcome, lovelies. We're here. So apparently that means it's time to chill out and have another nightcap. So we got Reverend Master here. We got This Fool's Life. We have Krista here. King Dinosaur 69 is here doing the dino dance, as well as Black Hat's Poppy. Krista says, hope everyone's having a great week so far. And if not, I pray things get better. The monster is boiling in steam. Yeah, I was trying to do a little fade effect thing there, but it wasn't as smooth, and he ended up just freezing on a blurred frame. So, oops. Stay hydrated, grab a snack. I kind of had some snacks. I need to get probably dinner afterwards, but that's my life of busy. Black Hat's drinking water and eating walnuts. Do you like walnuts? Oh yeah, I need those little finger monster puppets. Those little rubbery guys. I used to love those things. Just finished orange juice and had a blueberry muffin. Delicious. But how are you all doing? Hope you're having an okay time. The week is moving on quickly. Tomorrow's already fucking Thursday. Wild. My back and whatnot is feeling better, still not 100%, but at least enough to the point where I haven't like felt like I'm in a lot of pain, you know, kind of regular amount. Krista's prepping for a foot of snow. Fuck that shit. I want no more of that. I'm going on Friday to see the new Godzilla vs. Kong movie. I'm actually going to go to the theater and check that out. And also, I was like, I haven't seen the original Godzilla in a long time. So I have that queued up. Probably watch that as I'm falling asleep today. And then could not remember if we had ever talked about Godzilla, the monster. So I was going to go through a little just brief, super quick Wikipedia read on that, because Godzilla has always been one of my favorite things ever since I was teeny tiny. Loved that son of a bitch. You know, a little bit of an interesting roller coaster ride on that character, given that for a while he really did truly look goofy. And I think a lot of people saw and remember him in the goofy version from like the 80s, but it's gotten a lot better. There's been some misses in that franchise history. There's been certainly some level movies, but also some very good ones. Godzilla Minus Zero is just fucking mind-blowing. So I'm hoping this movie is fun. And you know, we'll see, I guess. Krista was going to watch that last night, but got distracted by Walker, Texas Ranger. These are here, my boys, Walker and Texas Ranger. Well, here's a cheers to Walker and Texas Ranger. King Dinosaur says, I watched all the original Godzilla flicks on Sci-Fi Theater, Sunday afternoons on local Seattle Tacoma television station, KSTW. Rest in peace. Poor radio station. But some things going on. I have to rapidly and quickly and very soon make a decision as to what I'm going to do. I know it sounds like a broken record, but the people that I rent this house from, they have to move forward with putting this house on the market and selling it as kind of soon as they can. So that will put me very close to, if not on the, I got to get moving. I got to make a decision of what I'm going to do. And it's difficult. There's pros and cons to both. I know people often don't like to vote on things in the chat, and not that I would base my entire decision on that, but there's basically two clear choices. Choice number one is you bite the bullet and go through all of the uncertainty and stress and whatever of packing up and moving home, which would include hopefully finding a new job if there's a job out there, and where to stay and how to get my motorcycle home and all that shit. Trade-off and benefits being, yep, with my family back there, whatever, familiar place. The other side of that is, even though, yes, the longer you stay, there's difficulty in going back, but the flip side is I let another year play out and let things settle, given all of the fallout that has happened in the last, not even what, just about 6 months. Being that I am employed at a place, so right now I'm able to sustain myself and keep a roof over my head. You find a place. I've already got some leads on that, but you rent a place. It'll be a little closer to this office where I'm at. It'll be a little cheaper. And you see what happens in the world, because I feel like the rest of this year is going to get wild. Who knows what's going to happen? Election, economy, all sorts of that shit. I have made some better friends and headway and whatever here. So, the downside of that obviously is I'm not home and don't get to see my family as much. Although there is the potential that if this job is fine with it and everything else, which I imagine they would be, going and visiting home more often, taking some more trips back there and not doing that just twice a year, maybe going a little more frequently, or even telling people, look, if you want to come out and visit and you've got some time and really it's just kind of money-ish being tight, tell you what, I'll send you some cash and you can fly out here and visit, especially whether it's my sister or my cousins, or even my parents. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to not make a decision in haste, sort of like I kind of did to come out here. But I need to make this decision soon and get moving on it. So I don't know. I will just see, look, what people think. I'm going to not allow any additional votes, and I'm going to put that there for 5 minutes. Talk to Madam Ruby. Maybe I should. Maybe I should find like a psychic palm reader or somebody, something out here and ask them. That's not super into all that, but it would be kind of interesting. It would be interesting. Look for a bunker. Man, there was like at one point there was a Titan II missile base that was for sale. These people bought it and turned that into a home. And they have like this garden, hanging garden in like the missile silo. And that's got like air filtration, everything else. Like, dude, that would be so fucking cool. That would be so cool to live in a fucking bunker like that. And then if and well, not if, because the poll is gonna end in 5 minutes. Didn't know if what you folks were up for this evening. Do you want to watch a Mr. Wizard? Because if so, I can do the Godzilla talk now, and then we can go right into Mr. Wizard, or we can just chat, or whatever y'all want to do. Can't vote. Well, what happened here? Let's try it again. I'm going to end it. Well, that's weird. It should have let people do it. I'll do it again. Which you do. Hold down here. I voted, but I also refreshed the page a little bit before the stream happened. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe refresh. It's there. It says it's there. You know, if you want, you can also whisper me your response. Of course, then I will know who said what. So if you're worried about that. But Reverend Master would love to live in a dwarf underground fortress. That'd be pretty sweet. A big carved stone and everything. I mean, you might want to just either refresh the stream, like just quit and come back. There's been weird stuff going on Twitch. Dean was having all sorts of issues with his chat room and stream the other day. Things like glitching out. Shit just disappearing, so I don't exactly know what all is going on over there. No, the polls usually are. There's usually just a little thing you click there too, and it kind of comes up, and you know, you just do that away. But yeah, I don't know. Black Cat says, "I have no response.
I'm stoic and silent like a tree with a pig head and a snake in it."
Mm-hmm. Well, don't know why that's working, but that's really fucking weird. Fool's Life says there's nothing to see when I click. It's bizarre. It's very bizarre. See where it says to vote, but it's blank. Twitch, you make no sense. You make no sense. It's funny because I can vote. I can vote on it. I can click on it and vote, but that's pretty silly. Fucking weirdo damn service. It's weirdo shit. Okay, somebody voted. Somebody voted. There's one vote. So it did work for somebody. Reverend Master just voted again. Lol. See, that's, well, it probably allowed you to do it because I stopped it and restarted it. Black Cat needs to go get some berries. What sort of berries? Are you just like walking outside and just like picking them up out of the yard? Or are you going to the store and getting a specific berry? What berries are you all into? Reverend Master says, but it's the opposite this time. So you're just going for full confuse. That's also good. Shake up a little bit. Allow complete uncertainty. I'm down with it. I'm down with it. Cheers, by the way. Well, no, see, this is the thing. This isn't telling me necessarily what to do. This is like Morpheus and all those other famous quotes and whatever, like, you know, your free will to choose is like one of the only things that you really have that is yours. However, advice and suggestions, I mean, are worth considering, right? I'm still going to do ultimately what I feel like I need to do, you know, it's like, I would do this. Well, okay. If I wasn't interested in the opinion or the advice, I wouldn't have asked, right? But ultimately, that's still going to have to be my decision alone to live with either way. You know, I can't make recriminations or blame or do anything on anyone else. That's always the way it is. You know, you're unless somebody's like, truly, yeah, saying, do this thing. Right? And you're like, okay, you're telling me to do it, so that's what I'm going to do. But even there, like, you can always say no. You can always say no. Well, anyway, that didn't work. The poll seems like it's broken, so I may as well just stop it and quit it anyway. But yeah, what say you guys on the Mr. Wizard slash videos or whatever front? If you're up for that or not. I see telling is the same thing as advising. I mean, that's fair too. I don't. If I ask for advice, it's advice. It'd be different if I was in the military and I had a commander and a commander said, do this thing, and you do it, and it turns out bad. I'd say, well, I was just following orders. But that's not orders. That's just, perspective. Looking for some perspective. So Reverend Master says it's Godzilla time. So Gojira, Godzilla, is a fictional monster debuted in the eponymous 1954 film, directed and co-written by Ishiro Honda. The character has since become an international pop culture icon and has been in 33 Japanese films, 5 American films, numerous video games, novels, comic books, and television shows. He's dubbed the King of the Monsters, an epithet first used in Godzilla King of the Monsters in 56, the American localization of the 1954 film. He's a prehistoric reptilian monster awakened and empowered after many years by nuclear radiation. With the nuclear bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the Lucky Dragon 5 incident still fresh in the Japanese consciousness, Godzilla was conceived as a metaphor for nuclear weapons. But others have suggested that Godzilla is a metaphor for the United States, a giant beast woken from its slumber that then takes terrible vengeance on Japan. As the film series expanded, some storylines took on less serious undertones, portraying Godzilla as an anti-hero or as a lesser threat who defends humanity. Later films addressed disparate themes and commentary, including Japan's apathy, neglect, and ignorance of its imperial past, natural disasters, and the human condition. Godzilla has been featured alongside many supporting characters over the decades and faced off against various human opponents, such as the Japan Self-Defense Force. They can't have an army, remember? In addition to other gargantuan monsters, including Gigan, King Ghidorah, and Mechagodzilla. Godzilla has fought alongside allies such as Anguirus, Mothra, and Rodan, as well as had offspring, including Godzilla Jr. and Minilla. Those movies are fucking garbage. Godzilla has also battled characters and creatures from other franchises and crossover media, such as King Kong, as well as various Marvel Comics characters like S.H.I.E.L.D., the Fantastic Four, and the Avengers. Going back to chat for a moment, Krista says, if you can live comfortable, make arrangements. To see family more than stay, but if your heart wants to go home, follow it. Yeah, see that's good advice, and I take that to heart. That's just I'm balancing on the teeter totter there. Black Cat's gonna get some chicken, watermelon, and blueberries. Zemedek is here. Zemedek, yo, how we doing? Doing all right, man. Kind of a weirdish week or two, so, but good to see you. Zemedek does some great streams. Sometimes he tends bar. Sometimes he plays games. Sometimes you can watch the man lift weights like a beast. Always cool. Make sure you check him out. Thanks for the shout out there, Krista. King Dinosaur had the 70s Marvel comics and watched the 80s cartoon with Godzuki. Zemedek says Kong got his shit rocked in the first GVK movie. The thing is, for me personally, there'd just be no chance. I mean, number one, if you look at the original movies, King Kong is nowhere even near the size that Godzilla is at. I mean, King Kong climbed to the top of the Empire State Building and was hanging on top of the little thing there. Godzilla would have ripped that whole building in half and thrown it down the street. So, I mean, that would have just been a complete, I mean, that would be like, it'd be like me fighting a 5-year-old. It's not even worth considering. You would have just squashed them. That would have been just fucking instantly game over. And I don't know why people are so preoccupied with that. I guess it's just famous big monster against famous big monster. But if you're going to do that, then why not have it be like against the beast from 20,000 Fathoms or anything else? I mean, maybe they figure, no, that's too many reptiles fighting reptiles. So we got to get a giant gorilla in there. But I'll be interested to see how this newest one pans out. Black Cat has only seen the original movies. Some of the later ones are good. Some of the ones in the 90s are awesome. Say the 80s ones where they did like this his little baby Godzilla and all that. God, they're just so corny and dopey. Ugh. Michael Jackson versus Prince, Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali. See, the Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali. But the Michael Jackson versus Prince. Boy, that would have been an interesting battle royale to see. Michael Jackson just like rips his face off and he's like just some lobster creature and he just fucking tears him just fucking to shreds. You did see the baby one? He's cute. Walks around and it goes, wang, 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 wang. And then Godzilla has to like stomp on his tail to get him to do his little, he shoots the little puff ring that does like nothing. And he just gets slapped around, and then Godzilla stomps on his tail, and then he does the full fire breath. It's just fucking stupid. But now here is a point of where everybody seems like they know the answer. However, the process of creating Godzilla's first film is comprehensively, sorry, recorded. Exactly how its name came to be remains unintelligible. The most widely accepted report of its origin is that the producer, Tomoyuki Tanaka, named the monster after a sturdy Toho worker, Shiro Imakura, the later chief of the theater club of Toho, who is jokingly dubbed Gujira, then Gojira, a portmanteau of the Japanese words Gorira and Kujira, gorilla and whale, due to his burly build to resemble a gorilla and his habit to favor whale meat. The account has been acknowledged by Toho themselves. And so a bunch of people acknowledged it, but then two others were called to the employee, was named Shir. No, wait. However, Honda's widow, Kimi, dismissed the employee name story as a tall tale in a 1998 documentary on Godzilla, believing that Honda, Tanaka, and Tsuburaya gave considerable thought to the name of the monster. Oh, stating that somebody just did something. Zemedex just subscribed with Prime. Dude, thanks, man. Thanks, buddy. Fucking cheers to you, man. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. Yeah, Black Cat, that's what I figured you meant. You know, the original 50s, 60s ones. The backstage boys at Toho love to joke around with tall stories, but I don't believe that one, she says. Honda's longtime assistant director added, those of us who are closest to them don't even know how and why they came up with Gojira. So Toho later translated the giant monster's Japanese name as Godzilla for overseas distribution. The first recorded foreign use of Godzilla was printed in the Hawaii Tribune Herald, November 20th, 1955. During the development of the American version of Godzilla Raids Again, Godzilla's name was changed to Gigantus by producer Paul Shreveman, who wanted to create a character distinct from Godzilla. Dude, fuck that guy. Fucking fuck you and your dumb name, dude. Fucking nobody remembers that because you suck. The context of the Japanese films, Godzilla's exact origins vary, but is generally depicted as an enormous, violent, prehistoric sea monster, awakened and powered by nuclear radiation. Although specific details of the appearance have varied slightly over the years, the overall impression has remained consistent. Inspired by the fictional Redosaurus created by animator Ray Harryhausen for the film The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, Godzilla's character design was conceived as that of an amphibious reptilian monster based around the loose concept of a dinosaur, with an erect standing posture, scaly skin, an anthropomorphic torso with muscular arms, lobed bony plates along its back and tail, and a furrowed brow. The art director, Akira Watanabe, combined attributes of a Tyrannosaurus, an Iguanodon, a Stegosaurus, and an alligator to form a sort of blended chimera inspired by illustrations from an issue of Life magazine. To emphasize the monster's relationship with the atomic bomb, its skin texture was inspired by the keloid scars seen on the survivors of Hiroshima. The basic design has a reptilian visage, a robust build, an upright posture, a long tail, and serrated plates along the back. In the original film, the plates were added for purely aesthetic purpose in order to further differentiate Godzilla from any other living or extinct creature. Godzilla is sometimes depicted as green in the comics, cartoons, and movie posters, but the costumes used in the movies were usually painted charcoal gray with bone white dorsal plates up until the film Godzilla 2000 Millennium. In the original Japanese films, Godzilla and all the other monsters are referred to with gender-neutral pronouns equivalent to it, while in the English-dubbed versions, Godzilla is explicitly described as a male. In his book, Godzilla co-creator Tomoyuki Tanaka suggested that the monster was probably male. In the 1998 film, the monster is referred to as a male and is depicted as laying eggs through parthenogenesis. In the legendary Godzilla films, Godzilla is also referred to as a male. His allegiance and motivations have changed from film to film to suit the needs of the story. Although Godzilla does not like humans, it will fight alongside humanity against common threats. However, it makes no special effort to protect human life or property and will turn against its human allies on a whim. It is not motivated to attack by predatory instinct, it does not eat people, and instead it sustains itself on nuclear radiation and an omnivorous diet, especially cetaceans and large fish. When inquired if Godzilla was good or bad, producer Shogo Tomiyama likened it to a Shinto god of destruction, which lacks moral agency and cannot be held to human standards of good and evil. He totally destroys everything, and then there's a rebirth. Something new and fresh can begin. Tomoyuki Tanaka noted in his book that Godzilla and humanity can become temporal allies against greater threats, but they are essentially enemies due to the difficulty of coexisting. King Dinosaur said, I didn't know that about the scars. It's hardcore. The dinosaur revives to sue Godzilla. Unlike Gamera, who's a friend to children everywhere. Yeah, see, they have some in the universe, the other monsters that came and were spinoffs that were decidedly friendly. I think Mothra, I don't know if Mothra was originally bad either, but then becomes like a angelic almost creature. Unlike Barney, who is also a friend. I love you, you love me. And then he fucking just starts eating the kids. Zykolos stopping by with an aloha. How are you guys? Zykolos, also excellent streamer. If you can, you're bored, hang out and chill, Zykolos. Zykolos has such a great voice. I could just listen to Zykolos read like farm equipment manuals and just fall asleep. He has like the perfect German accent and speaks English so well. But I've known actually Zykolos now for, we were talking the other day, almost like 5 years. Five years or more or something like that. Just wild. Just wild. Known Zykolos a long time. Really nice dude. So stop by and check him out. Abilities. Godzilla's signature weapon is its atomic heat beam, also known as atomic breath. Nuclear energy that it generates inside of its body uses electromagnetic force to concentrate it into a laser-like high-velocity projectile and unleashes it from its jaws in the form of a blue or red radioactive beam. Toho's special effects department used various techniques to render the beam, from physical gas-powered flames, do you know that, to hand-drawn or computer-generated fire. Godzilla is shown to possess immense physical strength and muscularity, Haruo Nakajima, the actor who played Godzilla in the original films, was a black belt in judo and used his expertise to choreograph the battle sequences. And apparently, that thing was heavy and very tough to move around in. He was very athletic, would be exhausted by the time those shoots were done. There's a little bit of a, as much as we may laugh at the man in the rubber suit, especially before they had all of the lighter weight latex appliances and everything, the techniques that they have now, I imagine that was just a nightmare for that guy to perform that role. So here's a hats off to you, sir, for playing one of my beloved creatures. Godzilla is amphibious. It has a preference for traversing Earth's hydrosphere when in hibernation or migration. Can breathe underwater due to pore-shaped gills and is described in the original film by the character Dr. Yamane as a transitional form between a marine and terrestrial reptile. He is shown to have great vitality. It is immune to conventional weaponry thanks to its rugged hide and ability to regenerate. And as a result of surviving a nuclear explosion, it cannot be destroyed by anything less powerful. One incarnation possesses an electromagnetic pulse-producing organ in its body, which generates an asymmetrical permeable shield, making it impervious to all damage except for a short period when the organ recycles. Various films, non-canonical television shows, comics, and games have given him additional powers like an atomic pulse, magnetism, precognition, fireballs, converting electromagnetic energy into intensive body heat, converting shed blood into temporary tentacle limbs, an electric bite, superhuman speed, laser beams emitted from its eyes, and even flight. So they definitely up the ante in the power. I mean, I guess if you're going to have it fight the dipshit Marvel characters where that's just complete. Didn't they learn? The whole point of the monster was the arms race and all the rest of that shit. And then they go ahead and they do it in the movies themselves. But I guess that's just show business. You can actually picture the purple friend as I was seeing. Godzilla has a distinctive disyllabic roar transcribed in several comics as Skrionk, which is created by the composer Akira Ifukube, who produced the sound by rubbing a pine tar resin-coated glove along the string of a contrabass and then slowing down the playback. In the American version of Godzilla Raids Again, Godzilla's roar was mostly substituted with that of the monster Anguirus. From the Return of Godzilla to Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, it was given a deeper and more threatening sounding roar than the previous films, although that change was reverted from Godzilla vs. Mothra onward. For the 2014 American film, they refused to disclose the sound of the source of the sounds used for Godzilla's roar. The sound editors described the two syllables of the roar as representing two different emotional reactions, with the first expressing fury and the second conveying the character's soul. But the size of Godzilla is inconsistent, changing from film to film and even scene to scene for the sake of artistic license. The miniature sets and costumes were typically built on a 1/25th to 1/50th scale and filmed at 240 frames per second to create the illusion of great size. In the original film, Godzilla was scaled to be 164 feet tall. This was done so Godzilla could just peer over the largest buildings in Tokyo at the time. In the 1956 American version, Godzilla is estimated to be 400 feet tall, because producer Joe Levine felt that the other one did not sound powerful enough. 400 fucking feet tall. Damn, baby. As the series progressed, Toho would rescale it, eventually making Godzilla as tall as 328 feet. This was done so that it would not be dwarfed by the newer, bigger buildings in Tokyo skyline, such as the 797-foot Tokyo Metropolitan Government building, which Godzilla destroyed in the film Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah. Supplementary information, such as character profiles, would also depict Godzilla's weighing between 20,000 and 60,000 metric tons. Zykol says, does Godzilla have another power, shrink or enlarge? I mean, they might have. I think some of it is just license on the other creatures and whatever that they're doing at the time. Like they were saying, it's a little inconsistent. Going all the way back to the earlier statement about Godzilla versus King Kong, I feel like there are different sizes every time you see him. Godzilla's appearance has traditionally been portrayed in the films by an actor wearing a latex costume that the character has been rendered in animatronic, stop motion, and computer-generated form. Taking inspiration from King Kong, special effects artists Eiji Tsuburaya had initially wanted him to be portrayed via stop motion, but prohibitive deadlines and a lack of experienced animators in Japan at the time made suitmation more practical. Now, here we go. Here we go. You ready? The first suit weighed in excess of 220 pounds and consisted of a body cavity made of thin wires and bamboo wrapped in chicken wire for support and covered in fabric and cushions, which were then coated in latex. It was held together by small hooks on the back, although subsequent Godzilla suits incorporated a zipper. Prior to 1984, most of the suits were made from scratch, thus resulting in slight design changes in each film appearance. The most notable changes from 1962 to 1975 were the reduction in the number of toes and the removal of the character's external ears and prominent fangs, features which would all later be reincorporated in the Godzilla designs from the Return of Godzilla onward. The most consistent Godzilla design was maintained from Godzilla vs. Biollante to Godzilla vs. Destoroyah, when the suit was given a cat-like face and double rows of teeth. Meow. Several suit actors had difficulties performing Godzilla due to the suit's weight, lack of ventilation, and diminished visibility. The first man to portray Godzilla from 1954 to 1972 said the materials used to make the 1954 suit, rubber, plastic, cotton, and latex, were hard to find after World War II. The suit weighed 100 kilograms after its completion and required two men to help Nakajima put it on. When he first put it on, he sweated so heavily that his shirt was soaked within seconds. Kenpachiro Satsuma, in particular, who portrayed Godzilla from 1984 to 1995, described how the Godzilla suits he wore were even heavier and hotter than their predecessors because of the incorporation of animatronics. Satsuma himself suffered numerous medical issues during his tenure, including oxygen deprivation, near drowning, concussions, electric shocks, and lacerations due to the legs from the suit's steel wire reinforcements wearing through the rubber padding. The ventilation problem was partially solved in the suit used in Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla, which was the first to include an air duct that allowed suit actors to last longer during performances. In Return of Godzilla, some scenes made use of a 16-foot high robotic Godzilla dubbed the Cybot Godzilla for use in close-up shots of the creature's head. The Cybot Godzilla consisted of a hydraulically powered mechanical endoskeleton covered in urethane, containing 3,000 computer-operated parts, which permitted it to tilt its head, move its lips and arms. In 1998, the special effects artist Patrick Tatopoulos was instructed to redesign Godzilla as an incredibly fast runner. At one point, it was even planned to use motion capture from a human to create movements of the computer-generated Godzilla, but that was said to have ended up looking too much like a man in a suit. Tatopoulos subsequently reimagined the creature as a lean, digitigrade, bipedal, iguana-like creature that stood with its back and tail parallel to the ground. Several scenes had the monster portrayed by stuntmen in suits. Those suits were similar to those used in the Toho films, with the actors' heads being located in the monster's neck and the facial movements controlled via animatronics. However, because of the creature's horizontal posture, the stuntmen had to wear metal leg extenders, which allowed them to stand 2 meters off the ground with their feet bent forward. The film's special effects crew also built a sixth-scale animatronic Godzilla for close-up scenes, whose size outmatched that of Stan Winston's T-Rex in Jurassic Park. Kurt Carley performed the suitmation sequences for the adult Godzilla. In Godzilla 2014, characters portrayed entirely via CGI. The design in the reboot was intended to stay true to that of the original series, though the film's special effects team strove to make the monster more dynamic than a guy in a big rubber suit. To create a CG version of Godzilla, the Moving Picture Company studied various animals such as bears, Komodo dragons, lizards, lions, and wolves, which helped the visual effects artists visualize Godzilla's body structure, like that of its underlying bone, fat, and muscle, as well as the thickness and texture of its scales. Motion capture was also used for some of the movements. TJ Storm provided the performance capture for Godzilla by wearing sensors in front of a green screen. Storm reprised the role of Godzilla in Godzilla King of the Monsters, portraying the character through performance capture. In Shin Godzilla, a majority of the character is portrayed by CGI, with Mansai Nomura portraying Godzilla through motion capture. In 2024, Godzilla Minus One, which was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Visual Effects, becoming the first Godzilla film nominated for an Oscar. In the 96th Academy Awards of 2024, it won the Oscars. So here's a cheers to you, Godzilla, for finally winning an award that you so desperately deserved. Going back to the chat for a moment. Yeah, I keep giving him more and more powers. But yeah, that guy was a badass. A 220-pound suit. They'd be like wearing me. Superman starts from the Vision of who writes him. Yeah, I mean, Superman is a twink character. And by that, I mean, I don't think he... If you go back to, again, very much in a certain sense like Godzilla, if you go back to the very first incarnations and then the people who rewrite it and write him over the time, they pretty much might as well just call him Do Anything, Anytime, Anywhere Man because, At one time, a tiny box of kryptonite is opened three multiverses away. He's about to die in 3 minutes. In the next film, he can lift an island filled with vines of kryptonite and nothing happens. I know, it's so fucking dumb. That movie was so inconsistent and stupid, and people didn't get why I hated it. And I'm like, because it breaks its own, like, it, when a movie breaks its own rules, that I'm done. He's able to pick up a continent of kryptonite and fucking throw it. Well, okay. Reverend Man says his wife stopped liking anything other than All-American Superman. All-American Superman, that era, I'd say probably about late 70s, early 80s. And then it's just, again, turned into a fucking nuclear arms race. King Dinosaur just says, scream! Godzilla is one of the most recognizable symbols of Japanese culture worldwide. Wait, Meow the Cat's here, but I can't see his chat over my other screen because of his stupid stabby knife. You and your stabby knife. Don't you come in here and stab me. I'll show you, dude. You'll never defeat Mad Mike. But Meow the Cat, stop by and make sure you say hello to Meow the Cat. Give him a follow. Very hardworking streamer. Very consistent. Dude streams like a madman. So, give him some support. Let's see. Godzilla's vaguely humanoid appearance and strained lumbering movements endeared it to Japanese audiences who could relate to Godzilla as a sympathetic character due to its wrathful nature. Audiences responded positively to the character because it acts out of rage and self-preservation and shows where science and technology can go wrong. Yongari, Monster from the Deep, was a South Korean movie where a reptilian monster invades South Korea to consume oil. Film and character has often been branded as an imitation of Godzilla. Godzilla has been considered a filmographic metaphor in the United States as well as an allegory of nuclear weapons in general. The earlier Godzilla films, especially the original, portrayed Godzilla as a frightening nuclear-spawned monster. Godzilla represented the fears that many Japanese held about the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the possibility of recurrence. As the series progressed, so did Godzilla, changing into a less destructive and more heroic character. Ghidorah was the turning point in Godzilla's transformation from villain to hero by pitting him against a greater threat to humanity, King Ghidorah. Godzilla has since been viewed as an anti-hero. Roger Ebert cites Godzilla as a notable example of villain turned hero, along with King Kong, Jaws from James Bond, and Terminator and John Rambo. Godzilla is considered the original radioactive superhero due to his accidental radioactive origin story predating Spider-Man, though Godzilla did not become a hero until Ghidorah in 64. By the 70s, Godzilla came to be viewed as a superhero with the magazine King of the Monsters in 1977, describing Godzilla as the superhero of the 70s. Godzilla had surpassed Superman and Batman to become the most universally popular superhero of 1977, according to Donald F. Glut. Godzilla was also voted the most popular movie monster in the Monster Times poll in 1973, beating Count Dracula, King Kong, the Wolfman, the Mummy, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, and the Frankenstein monster. So Cole says, when the movie Godzilla and King Kong working together, eventually they're fighting the three-headed dragon thing. The three-headed dragon thingy is King Ghidorah. That is the movie and the creature where he kind of made his face turn from being a heel to being a face. So that creature, King Ghidorah, has always kind of been a bad guy. Although, if I recall, in Godzilla, I think it's All Out Attack, King Ghidorah and Mothra actually kind of work together because Godzilla has just gone completely apeshit to the point where near the end of that film, one of my favorite sequences, King Ghidorah is able to use his supernatural powers to revive Mothra in this great sequence of Mothra glowing and coming back to life. And you're like, okay, here it comes. You know, they're going to use their combined powers and they're going to take Godzilla down. And then Godzilla absolutely reduces Mothra into a flaming pile of fucking moth scales and just disintegrates his ass. And then I think either pulls one or more of the heads off of Ghidorah and just fucking crushes him, just absolutely decimates his ass, and then leaves a wake of destruction and goes off into the water. Kind of going back to the original films of him being basically a monster that's powered by all of the rage and lost souls of nuclear devastation. So yeah, that's one of the 90s movies. It's absolutely spectacular. Godzilla looks amazing. He looks ferocious and fucking pissed. That movie is fucking great. That is one of the best ones in the series. I think a lot of people regard it as one of the best movies in the series. If you have not seen that one, can't recommend it enough. It's fucking awesome. It's awesome. let's see, 1996, Godzilla got a Lifetime Achievement Award and was given a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2004 to celebrate the premiere of the character's 50th anniversary film, Godzilla Final Wars. The pop cultural impact has led to the creation of numerous parodies. The media is seen as Bambi Meets Godzilla, which is ranked as one of the 50th greatest cartoons. We watch that if you want. In two episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and the song Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult. Godzilla has also been used in advertisements, such as a commercial for Nike, where Godzilla lost an oversized one-on-one game of basketball to a giant version of Charles Barkley. The commercial was subsequently adapted into a comic book. He's been in commercials for Snickers candy bars. He's been the inspiration for all sorts of other characters, such as Gamera, Reptilicus of Denmark, Yangari of South Korea, Pulgasari of North Korea, Gorgo of the United Kingdom, and the Cloverfield Monster of the United States. Dacosaurus is an extinct sea crocodile of the Jurassic period, which researchers informally nicknamed Godzilla. Paleontologists have written tongue-in-cheek speculative articles about Godzilla's biology, with Kenneth Carpenter tentatively classifying it as a ceratosaur based on its skull shape, four-fingered hands, and dorsal scutes, and paleontologist Darren Naish expressing skepticism while commenting on Godzilla's unusual morphology. So yes, there's been some confusion that Godzilla is public domain given its ubiquitous nature, but that's not true. in 2008, Subway depicted a giant monster in a commercial for their $5 footlongs, but Toho filed a lawsuit against Subway for using the character without permission, demanding $150,000 in compensation. In 2011, Toho sued Honda for depicting a fire-breathing monster in a commercial for the Honda Odyssey. The monster was never mentioned by name, being seen briefly on a video screen inside the minivan. The Sea Shepherd Conservation Society christened a vessel the MV Gojira. Its purpose is to target and harass Japanese whalers in defense of whales and the Southern Ocean Whale Sanctuary. But it was renamed the Brigitte Bardot in 2011 due to legal pressure from Toho. Gojira is the name of a French death metal band formerly known as Godzilla. Legal problems forced the band to change their name. In 2015, Toho launched a lawsuit against Voltage Pictures over a planned picture starring Anne Hathaway. Promotional material released at the Cannes Film Festival used issues of Godzilla. Steven Spielberg cited Godzilla as an inspiration for Jurassic Park. Which he grew up watching. He described Godzilla as the most masterful of all of the dinosaur movies because it made you believe it was really happening. Godzilla also influenced the Spielberg film Jaws. Godzilla has been cited as an inspiration by filmmakers Martin Scorsese and Tim Burton. A carnivorous dinosaur from the Triassic period was named Gojirasaurus in 1997. The main belt asteroid 101781 Gojira, discovered by American astronomer Roy Tucker at the Goodrich Pigott Observatory in 1999, was named in honor of the creature. The official naming was published by the Minor Planet Center. The largest megamullion, located 600 kilometers to the southeast of Okinotoroshima, the southernmost Japanese island, is named the Godzilla Megamullion. The Japanese Coast Guard played a role in the name reaching an agreement with Toho. Toho's chief Godzilla officer, Kaiji Ota, stated that I'm truly honored that the Megamullion bears Godzilla's name, Earth's most powerful monster. In 2015, the Shinjuku Ward of Tokyo named Godzilla a special resident and official tourism ambassador to encourage tourism. During an unveiling of a giant Godzilla bust at Toho headquarters, Shinjuku Mayor Kenichi Yoshizumi stated Godzilla is a character that is the pride of Japan. The mayor extended a residency certificate to an actor in a rubber suit representing Godzilla, but as the suit's hands were not designed for grasping, it was accepted on Godzilla's behalf by a Toho executive. Reporters noted that Shinjuku's ward has been flattened by Godzilla in three Toho movies. So there's a little bit of some history on the big dino. Black Cat says,
Dinosaurs smash buildings and cities.
yeah, me too. He's one of my favorites. King Dinosaur says, tonight has been fun and educational. By the way, Cigar Goyle, nice educative content today. Facts and reality-based topic. Now I know everything about our favorite friendly Godzilla from the neighborhood. Right? So let's watch this. Let me see if I can find this here real quick. Okay, we're gonna watch a little cartoon. We'll watch a cartoon. Let me scale this correctly so you guys can see it. This is an epic battle. You probably never would have imagined that such an epic battle would occur, especially given the rather peaceful nature of Bambi. But here we go. Thank you. This is apparently drawn by one guy. Cost him $300. Oh, look how peaceful. And that's it. The giant foot comes down and crushes Godzilla. With the ending, we gratefully acknowledge the city of Tokyo for their help in obtaining Godzilla for this film. I love the little toe movement at the very end of that. I always thought that was a kind of cool little touch. Let's see if we have... let's see if we have this piece here. Here we go. Watch this shit. Yeah, I'm just...
Mothra.
Yeah, that's the fucking end of Mothra. Just reduces him into complete fucking dust. Oh, wait. But could it be? Will Mothra rise again? Perhaps with the mystical power of King Ghidorah to return and save the city. Godzilla says, get fucked! An interesting point of note there, you'll notice that in this film, Godzilla's eyes are completely white. They wanted to give him almost an undead, super menacing appearance in this movie. They wanted him very much to not be his sort of friendly sort of appearance. But yeah, he comes back in this one and is just an absolute monster. So... I very much recommend some of these movies. A lot of those ones from the 90s, I feel like people didn't see them, but they're really, really fucking good. Godzilla looks just fucking super badass. Lots of cool action in these movies. The set work is just absolutely fucking on point. And yeah, man, he's just a shit kicker in this movie. You know, most of the time, in a lot of these, you know, they'll show the monsters as kind of being defeated, whatever. In this one, he actually like kills them. I think there are some sequences where there's actual blood shown, which is also sort of, you know, they're very hesitant to do that in a lot of the movies. You know, they didn't want the violence. I can't remember how they put it, but you know, they didn't want it to be, you know, gory and I don't know, too frightening maybe for children or whatever. But this one and some of them, man, they go all out. And you see right there, there's a bunch of people that just get fucking crushed, just absolutely crushed into paste. Look at that. Just fucking stomps on his head. I mean, look at his face.
I appreciate monsters.
Yeah, me too.
Ugh, it's terrible. I don't want to watch it.
Shut up! You're here to film, so get filming. Quick, hurry up. You're missing it.
Right.
Folks, we have a real grandstand view of this rumble here. Oh, and Godzilla puts the food in again. Looks
like yeah, he's definitely, definitely just a mean son of a bitch in this. Shorty Star says, look, a lizard. He just whoops the shit out of him. Shorty, what are some famous Finnish monsters? King Dinosaur hasn't seen the 90s ones in a long time. Needs to revisit. Yeah, I went on a binge watch, I think, when Shin Godzilla was coming out. And went back through and rewatched a lot of these. And man, they're fantastic. The little set work and everything, like, it just looks so fucking cool. Just fucking... fuck you and your stupid little dive move. Completely... disintegrates those two dudes in the helicopter. Holy shit. Whoops.
Yuri.
Danger Noodles the Trouser Snake. Fast forward just a little bit here, but... yeah, this right here is like the game over. It's kind of like Sonny Chiba in the Street Fighters charging up. But even just the atomic breath effects in these movies in the 90s, I mean, just looks absolutely vicious. The amount of dust and everything that they kick up is just so fucking well done. But dude, that looks fucking cool. That fucking building and shit, everything collapsing and falling all over the place. Gives him a nice sustained, like, look at that shit. Just literally disintegrates that fucking thing. Just fucking disintegrates that dude. Absolutely fucking love it. Absolutely love it. Just the miniatures and everything in that are just so fucking cool. And yes, by the way, follow Shorty Straw. He's our favorite Finwegian, Swedenish streamer. He's really, really fucking nice dude. He's done with Action 52. So if you're like, God, I don't want to watch him play these shitty fucking Nintendo games anymore, that's over. He's back to his normal crappy. No, it's not crappy. He's playing Desperados, really neat sort of isometric strategy kind of tactics game. Zykelis says, the dudes in the chopper, nowadays it would be a street full of wannabe reporters with their mobiles. Yeah, and then getting reduced into constituent atoms by that fucking art, by that fucking atomic breath. But yeah, the special effects team, King Dinosaur, I'm with you. Must have paid well to be a concrete vendor in Japan, wherever that is happening. Yeah, construction. Your construction company after a Godzilla attack, you're gonna get a lot of work. You're gonna get a lot of work. Maybe not so much materials, but you're gonna have a lot of work. A lot of work. Shorty says, Mahinen Koko Hisi Sumo, wait, Suomu Hauki are a few mythical monsters. Naki is a water beast. Vetehinen, another water monster, like a bog hag. I can just imagine. I can imagine black cats poppy.
I'd be a water hack.
Want to look up some of these really quick. Let's see, what is. What does this thing look like? It's a water monster chasing after a. Actually, it's hard to tell. That kind of looks like a. That kind of looks like she's got a mustache. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there. Let's look up VT. Okay, so apparently one of the biggest monsters in Finland is a fucking watch. You gotta watch out for those watches. It's apparently, I know this looks like more of a thing. That thing's badass. Okay, if that's what that thing is, that thing looks fucking cool. Much scarier than a wristwatch. Not really afraid of wristwatches. Let's see. Coco Finland is a series of bonfires. You're gonna have to send me some references, Shorty, because as you can see here, I'm not having the greatest of luck. Is it a crouch Croatian watch? No, it's a Finnish watch. In Finland, they're terrified of watches. And I agree with Desi's butt. Time truly is the greatest villain of them all. Water horse. You translate that to water horse. Let's look up the. What's up with you in Finland, these horses? See, look. Now we're back on to probably girls running around with fucking. Yeah, see, now we're back to the Finnish hobby horse shit. Although these girls actually are smiling and don't look like the dead-eyed fucking psychos that were in that other fucking article. Those girls are fucking scary. That shit is fucking terrifying. Coco is a lightning eagle thing. Coco lightning eagle. Okay, it's a transformer. Oh no, here we go. Coco, the lap eagle. Oh, damn it. Oh, who's this? Holy shit. Yeah, all right. I'm digging that. She's got a big forehead, though. Cyber Eagle. That's kind of cool. I would hang that artwork in my house. That's fucking legit. That's fucking legit. We have to do some research on this. Shorty, in all seriousness, like not joking around at all, I feel like that stuff is super cool. And would love to either talk to you about that someday or hear you talk about it someday. I think those monsters and shit like that are really, really fucking cool. Like I say, not taking the piss out of you at all on that one. I truly think that that stuff is fucking awesome. Cheers to all of the big creatures. May they forever in our hearts smash the buildings, smash the people, tear it all down, because let's be honest, we asked for it. All right, a little bit of an extended episode today. Is there anything else anyone would like to talk about? Either their big favorite giant monster or creature or whatever. Yeah, smash that like button. Just fucking smash it. Just pound a goddamn hole right through your fucking monitor. Just crush your mouse into a million fucking little pieces. Just fucking crush it. Shorty says, fun fact, J.R.R. Tolkien took a lot of themes from the Kalevala. How do you say that? Kalevala? And put it in Lord of the Rings. It's pretty mainstream in fantasy today, like Hisi. Thank you to all of the monsters. And cheers to Kaiju in Finland and Germany and America and Latvia and wherever you're at. And all of your monsters, all your creatures. Hisi. Hisi Peko. Shorty loves kaiju, by the way. Well, Shorty, we part of the inspiration for all this is I'm going Friday to see the new Godzilla versus King Kong movie. So we'll see how that goes. But that kind of inspired it. Was just like, you know what? I don't know if I ever did. I could swear there was maybe an episode where I talked about Godzilla. But oh well, if I did, we talked about it again. Everybody seemed to like it, so who gives a shit? We'll go ahead and play this in the background again. Just so you guys can revel in some Godzilla music as we end the episode here. A lot of fun. I just love it. I just fucking love it. Remember, I have weird memories of when I was a kid. I think at one point, I don't know, they were rebuilding or doing something in our house. Might have been my room, my bedroom when I was real little. And so I had to sleep in the family room. And I remember, you know, my mother giving me blankets and everything else. And I remember watching... I can't remember which it was. It was the one where he fights like the big crab monster or whatever. And I remember just being absolutely just fucking enamored with that. Wow. Shorty has sent me this whole book poem thing. Looks like it's 464 pages. That is truly an epic poem. That is absolutely an epic poem. I should see if I can download this and get it on my Kindle or something somehow. I'm bookmarking this, though. I'm setting that one aside for later. Yeah, that's good shit. Good night and good day. Enjoy the rest of the week and the weekend. Reverend Master says, forgot Transylvania. Well, I don't think we have anyone here from Transylvania. I mean, all countries, sure, except Canada. But yeah, you know, to all of your creatures and critters out there, here's a cheers to you. I'll go ahead and end things, I think. Most people are probably getting sleepy. It's getting probably a little late, or maybe very early, depending on where you're at. Yeah, fuck Canada. Fuck Canada. Fucking smog monster. The maple monster comes at you and just attacks you with shitty beer and hockey sticks. Fuck that. Fuck that! yeah. God, I love that music. So on the farewell screen, I have a different music. So you're just going to have to look at my big, dumb, bald head as we end things. But as we say at the end of all of our episodes, one way or the other, stay safe, keep the faith, and all of that good shit. Make sure you get yourself some rest. And don't forget, who loves you, baby? You're beautiful.